Welcome to the Hacking Happy Podcast, a podcast designed to arm you with the tools and experiments that enable you to define happiness on your terms and inject more of it into each day. I'm your host, Penny Lacasso. I'm the world's first happiness hacker, and I have a bold mission. A mission to teach 10 million humans how to realize happiness on their terms by 2025. So, if you're ready to ignite your self-belief and inject more of what makes you feel good into each day, let's get started. Hello, happiness hackers, and welcome to episode number 52 of the Hacking Happy Podcast. This week's podcast, as always, is something I'm massively passionate about, and it kind of landed with me off the back of a conversation this past week. So let me give you or set you up in terms of the scene. So I was sitting in the kitchen with two humans that I love to chat to and often am inspired by, my housemate, Sean, and my beautiful hairdresser, Patrick, who I'm fortunate enough comes to my house to do my hair, but I think it's really an excuse for us to have a social visit. Now, this kind of idea came off the back of sitting with the two of them and chatting. Now, if I give you a bit of background, Sean is an inspiring young human who over the past few years has worked as a nurse in emergency, most recently at the Royal Children's Hospital. So you can imagine what that sort of entails. And she has just become a paramedic, which has been obviously a life goal for her. Huge achievement. And she's been undertaking her induction. And we were talking about that this week. So you can imagine the days as a paramedic along, you know, they're generally 12-hour shifts and you never know what you're going to get when you arrive at a scene. It can be not only physically but also mentally confronting. You're quite literally as a paramedic saving lives. I don't think that's going to come as a surprise to anyone. So as Sean shared the details of her induction as a paramedic and the complexity of the job, I sat listening intently and thinking selfishly, how lucky am I to live with a paramedic? God, if anything ever goes wrong, that's the person you want in your home, right? When she finally stopped giving us the update, Patrick looked at her and in his beautifully camp voice, he said, love, you need to invest in your Zen. He went on to say that it was so critical now because the demands of the job that Sean had taken on as a paramedic were going to have obviously a potential impact on her mental health. And it was important that she kind of approached it from a preventative perspective. Well, it might not have an impact on her mental health, but actually looking at how she managed that was going to be so critical. And so Patrick was trying to give her some ideas around a preventative approach and how that was better than trying to fix a mental health issue down the track. Now, don't get me wrong, Sean's all over this stuff. They've done loads of training on mental health, but I just thought it was such a beautiful piece of advice. You need to invest in your Zen. And it didn't just apply to Sean. Later that night, I lay in bed and all I could think about was those words, invest in your Zen. They were so powerful. And I started to wonder, what's my Zen? I thought about my yoga, my 5 a.m. ritual during the week of journaling and meditation by candlelight, laying in the park across the road on a sunny day with my shoes off, just feeling the grass beneath my toes. Walking the dog. Oh, so much Zen in walking the dog. I think even just patting the dog brings me Zen. Now, I perhaps am fortunate because I have invested heavily in the past 7 years in experimenting with where my Zen is found as a result of the work that I do as a happiness hacker. And I thought, well, we're in the lead up to Christmas. We're just out of lockdown here in Melbourne and it feels, after so long being sort of in our homes, it feels a bit like being an 18-year-old or a 21-year-old in the US and being able to get out and party legally for the first time. We feel like we can make plans again without them being pulled out from underneath us. And on the work front, well, there's always going to be work to do, work to get done before this Christmas deadline that we all seem to run towards. Now, all of this getting out of lockdown, this race towards Christmas, this starting to live freely again, starts to push busy buttons, and busy buttons push us towards burnout. And so it's for all of these reasons that I wanted to explore in this week's podcast what investing in your Zen could look like to inspire you to get after it in a way that might help you reset your well-being foundations for 2022. The word Zen is the Chinese translation of the Sanskrit word Dhyana, which I learned about in my beautiful yoga teacher training. Dhyana basically means meditation. Now, here's where perhaps I take a different view from the textbook when it comes to meditation. In my work over the years, predominantly with professionals in large corporates, I have come across many, 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 many people who struggle with meditation and the traditional practice of it. It's not that they haven't tried it. It just doesn't work for them. And so with all of this in mind, I've kind of shifted my view on meditation. To me, if I define meditation, meditation is being still of mind, being fully immersed in what it is that you are doing. It's that place where the world should not be distracting you from where you're at. Your mind is fully in the now and you feel a sense of inner peace. Now, what that looks like can be completely different for each and every one of us. The challenge is finding what it looks like for you. In my workshops, when I run programs where we've spoken about being just in that meditative state, people have shared with me, for them, their meditation is when they are washing the dishes. They use that as an opportunity to be fully in the moment, playing the guitar, listening to music, watching the waves roll in, feeling the sun on their face, perhaps painting or drawing, or even swimming. Just a couple of examples of how meditation doesn't have to mean you're sitting on the yoga mat with your legs crossed and your eyes closed. So with a broader perspective on that feeling of Zen and creative ways in which to play with it, I thought I would share a short Zen visualization with you today to connect you in with what your Zen might look like and what it feels like and gives back to you. If you're out and about listening, you may want to hit pause until you can get a spot where you can sit down and close your eyes just for a few moments. Otherwise, if you're all good, let's get started. I want you to close down your eyes. Connect both of your feet to the ground so you feel earthed. Provides you that beautiful centering feeling. You might want to just connect in with your shoulders and allow them to slide down your back and away from your ears. Start to connect in with your breath, inhaling through your nose, exhaling through your nose. Use your breath as an anchor and follow it like a wave in and out of the ocean. Notice the inhale. Embrace the exhale as a form of surrender. And as you continue to breathe, bring your attention to your third eye center. Become aware of anything that you carried with you into this visualization. Anything that is holding you back from being fully here, fully in the now. I want you to imagine writing whatever it is that's holding you back down on an imaginary little white card. When you've written those words, I want you to attach that card to a brightly coloured balloon. You choose the colour. And when you've attached that card, release the balloon and watch it float off into the sky, taking away with it whatever it was that you were hanging on to. Now I'd like you to connect in with the word Zen. You've released the distraction. Your only job is to breathe and connect in with the word Zen. What does this word mean to you? What does Zen look like for you? When was the last time you felt it? What were you doing? Where were you? Where in your body did you feel it? Surrender to just noticing. Noticing what your mind shows you about this beautiful word Zen and the meaning that you attach to it. Don't apply any filters. Judgments will not serve us in the realm of Zen. Now I'd like you to ask your mind a question. Please tell me, one small action do you suggest I take to invest in my Zen? Listen to your mind. Perhaps drop from your mind down into your heart and see what your heart has to say about this question. Tell me, what one small action do you suggest I take to invest in my Zen? Listen to what your head or your heart has to tell you. Capture it. And when you're ready, bring your attention back to your breath. Take a deep inhale through your nose. Part your lips and just sigh whatever it is out. Soften your face. Perhaps put a smile on your lips. And when you're ready, gently blink your eyes open. You might want to hit pause and write down what came up for you whilst it's still fresh in your mind. Otherwise, here's my challenge. My challenge to you this week is to use the insights from this visualization to invest in your Zen. Just take those one or two simple actions that your mind or your heart shared with you and use them to inject more of this Zen vibe into each day. Before I close this out, I thought, given we're talking about Zen, I'd share with you a beautiful little quote that I stole from my beautiful yoga teacher, Lisa, this morning. That kind of feels, well, it's not really a quote, it's kind of an excerpt from a beautiful book, and it kind of feels fitting in the context of what we're talking about today. Now, this quote comes from the book entitled Trusting the Gold by Tara Brach, who I believe is a Buddhist monk. So let me read it to you. Over the years, the Dalai Lama has met with Western Buddhist teachers a number of times, offering guidance and discussing what they encounter in their students. One year at a conference in Asia, the teachers asked him what he thought was most important to convey to those seeking spiritual inspiration. His immediate response was that they should encourage their students to trust the power of their hearts, an awareness to awaken through all circumstances. In Tibetan teachings, this level of trust is sometimes referred to as the lion's roar, expressing the confidence, the power, and the joy that comes from the knowing that we can open to life, that our heart can be present with whatever comes our way. Let yourself imagine what it would be like to live every day with the lion's roar, trusting that whatever arises, including the greatest losses and the deepest fears, has the potential to awaken wisdom and love, and hopefully a little more Zen. Happy experimenting with your Zen, my friends. I will be back with you next week. Until then, happiness looks good on you. Bye for now. Thanks for joining me for today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. If there was something that ignited a flame or sparked a thought within you from this conversation, please take a screenshot and share it on your preferred social media platform. Feel free to tag me in Hacking Happy Co or Penny Lacalso. Reviews are so important to reaching my goal of making 10 million beautiful humans just like yourself happier. So if you enjoyed your listen, please take a moment, leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. Until the next episode, remember, happiness looks good on you. Bye for now.